Podcasts from the Cochrane Library, the latest evidence for healthcare decision making.
Francine Ducharme, Professor, Department of Pediatrics, University of Montreal. The title of the review is Increased versus Stable Doses of Inhaled Corticosteroids for Exacerbations of Chronic Asthma in Adults and Children. The goal of asthma management is to achieve a life with normal activities, minimal symptoms, and exacerbations. One of the key approaches recommended by national and international consensus is to provide patients with a personalized guided self-management plan, that is, a detailed instruction on how to manage asthma at home according to the recommendations of the treating physician. Most self-management plans comprise three street-like color zones, green for daily management when the person is under control, yellow for action at the onset of a flare-up, and red indicating when to seek medical help during a severe flare-up. For more than a decade, a popular instruction for the yellow zone was to increase the dose of inhaled corticosteroids at the onset of a flare-up, which was believed to alleviate the severity and shorten duration of the flare-up. While advocated by previous asthma consensus guidelines, surprisingly, this strategy has only recently been tested in placebo-controlled trials. We identified five trials involving 1,250 patients, including 28 children. These trials compare increasing the dose of inhaled corticosteroids with continuing the usual maintenance dose during asthma flare-ups. The outcome of interest was the need for rescue oral corticosteroids as a marker of an exacerbation of moderate severity. This outcome was reported in only three of the five trials. Patients assigned to increasing their maintenance dose of inhaled corticosteroids did not use significantly less rescue oral steroids than those who continued the usual dose of inhaled corticosteroids. Because of the small number of trials and events, the confidence interval was wide and could not rule out a beneficial effect with a reduction by as much as 42% in the odds of rescue oral steroids, nor a deleterious effect would increase as much as 26% in the odds of rescue oral corticosteroids. Other outcomes also failed to show superiority of the strategy. As only 35% of patients experienced a flare-up during the study period and followed the advice, we performed a subgroup analysis on only those who had used the study drug at least once during the study. Again, there was no group difference in the rate of rescue oral steroids. A more recent strategy has been to quadruple the usual dose of inhaled corticosteroids. Again, the effect size was not significantly different from that of doubling the dose of inhaled corticosteroids. The increased dose strategy was not associated with an increased risk of adverse effects, but the small number of trials reporting these outcomes prevent firm reassurance. We conclude that in adults and children, there is insufficient evidence to support doubling or quadrupling the dose of inhaled corticosteroids at the onset of an exacerbation as a means to curtail the severity or reduce the duration of the flare-up. In the yellow zone, ongoing intake of the usual dose of inhaled corticosteroids with the addition of as-needed rescue beta-2 agonists may simply be the most effective option to prevent deterioration and reduce the duration of flare-up.